Blog Talk Radio.
This is Saida Garrett, and I'm tuned in to Intro to Info with my girl, Makeisha.
You are listening to Intro to Info with your host, Makeisha from D.C. That's me, open-minded, business-minded, spiritual, a little hood, and very nerdy and down-to-earth. And Queen of Hearts from Florida. She's so ladylike, family-oriented, quick-witted, and a real pillar in her community. On our platform, we discuss anything imaginable, but we talk a lot of pop culture, current events, and speak on our personal life experiences. We interview fantastic guests with unique stories, and Lord knows we just have organic fun. And check this out. If you want to join in on the fun, call in at 515-605-9376. We are live on Saturdays from 9 to 10 p.m. EST on the J. King Network. If you are a nympho for info, tune in to Intro to Info.
Welcome, everybody, to today's episode of Intro to Info and the very first show for 2023. This show is hosted by yours truly, Makeisha, broadcasting live from the Washington, D.C. area. We're live every Saturday from 9 until 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on the J. King Network. And my co-hosts include Queen of Hearts, Tam, and my father, Michael Beck. And we just appreciate anybody's listenership, whether you're listening live or via the archive podcast. I would encourage you that if you have something to say, if you have a voice, start your own podcast. Make it visual and audio, make it just audio, do it your way. But it is such a great way to network and get any information that you have out into the public. And it's a way that you'll never die, because long after I'm gone, this stuff will still be on the internet. So hopefully it continues to help people. All right. I just want to give a shout out to all of the other hosts on the J. King Network and tell anybody who's listening to me to just listen to all of the shows, Kings in the Morning, Queens in the Morning, all of the great shows that we have on this platform. And thank you to J. King for giving me a chance, particularly. Today's guest name is Jenny Rose Hartsong. She's a holistic sex, love, and intimacy coach who works with women and couples. And she takes the holistic approach. I can't wait to pick her brain, and I want to tell her thank you so much for giving us an hour of her time. And don't forget, guys, if you have questions, dial us at 515-605-9376. Jenny, hello. Welcome to Intro to Info.
Thank you so much. That intro was amazing. I'm actually like, my hand is on my heart right now. I'm feeling so much like warm feelings, and I'm so grateful to be here. So thank you.
And thank you as well. I can't wait to just speak on your perspective on a lot of things. I've read on your website, to do BDSM, a topic that is intriguing to me and a lot of people I've discovered on the internet. But I want to start with this angle. But since we're on a radio show, I know the importance of a good voice, but I want you to talk about how somebody's voice and the register they use it in can be impactful from a sexual standpoint.
Okay, so I have to clarify that question. So you're asking me, like, in the bedroom, what their voice is or how they communicate what they want or they need? I'm so sorry. I don't really quite clarify that.
So, like, people underestimate their mouthpiece, just how you use your voice, how the way that you speak to somebody can turn another person on, how what you say, like, how you communicate can turn somebody. They underestimate that on a large scale, in my opinion. Now, if you could speak to that, I learned that from the late Alan Roger Curry, but I wanted you to speak to that, because I listening to how you speak, and I can tell that you use your voice in that type of way to sway people how you want them, so to speak.
I understand. Okay, thank you so much. I really appreciate the clarification. So if we're going to talk about, like, I really love, part of what I love to help my clients with is to manifest the relationship of their dreams, right? And in that practice comes a lot of intentional dating. And in intentional dating, there's invitation. So we can use that in the way that we flirt or interact and communicate our needs or wants or desires. And that's the one tone. And then the other tone is in the bedroom when we're communicating either what we desire deeply or expressing pleasure in the moment. So there's kind of different levels to that. What area do you want me to go into, like the all three of them, or is there a certain category that you'd like me to go into?
I would love for you to speak on all three of them.
Okay, perfect. Amazing. So I've noticed a certain pattern in our society when it comes to dating that I personally, I would say I don't necessarily is the most empowering for both parties involved. And there's kind of like this coyness that like it's like a man will go after his, you know, his prey. They're hunters. They're going after something. And then the woman is kind of like coy and submissive and like wants to be chased. But I kind of think that that's an old paradigm that, you know, since we've gone into the Me Too movement, that we get to shift that. And I was actually talking to a girlfriend about this last night that she went to on a date last weekend. And she is also a sex coach. So she knows how to use her voice and to use her no and to communicate her needs. And he was just, the man was being very pushy and very demanding and very like wanting something from her in a way that she felt uncomfortable. And she kept saying no. And he kept trying to push. And so I really want to, I think that's a really powerful way as human beings that have a sexual drive and a sexual desire that we get to stop playing games when it comes to our intimacy and our dating and our relationships, that we get to clearly state with our voice what it is that we desire and what we're not available for. And that is when consent comes in. And that's a huge, huge, huge topic that we get to be more empowered and comfortable with and clear up front. So as a woman and as a man, you know, like we get to say like, yes, I like you. I want to get to know you better. And like, especially as a woman, I like to tell them like, yes, I like you. I would like to have sex with you. I'm turned on by you. And in order for me to be comfortable in that experience, I will need A, B, C, and D from you. That can be, what is your past STI status? Have you been tested recently? Do you know that status? Like, how are you in your energetic body? Like, are you angry or depressed or sad? Like, what kind of energy am I allowing into my vortex? Because we take on our partner's energetic field when we have sex with them. If they're anxious or had a really hard day, really stressed out. So it's just kind of checking into where they're at energetically. And then also, like, you know, when I say no, you get to listen to that and respect that. And if you're not available for, like, the first no, then I'm not available. And, like, clearly, whatever it is for you, and that's your, I'm just giving examples of, like, I want to know when you were tested last. You know, I want you to know that whenever I say no, no is no. You have to accept that. And that, like, I need to be cuddled after the experience. Like, after we both come, I need you to hold me for 5 minutes or get me some water or, you know, I need the light to be a certain way or I need you to shower first or whatever. And like, we're not comfortable with that as a community and culture. It's like we go on an app in the dating world, right? This is for dating. We go on an app and we meet some stranger and we go and hook up with them. And there's not a lot of intimacy. It's a lot very like primal sexual, like getting offness. And then we go on this massive high and then it crashes afterwards because we're not getting our soul nourishment. We're not getting met intimacy-wise. And then we kind of keep going in that cycle where we're going to have another hookup or, maybe we'll get in a relationship that doesn't fulfill us intimately as we deeply desire, because we don't want to be lonely per se. So I think it's really important to clarify first within yourself what you want and desire. That's really, really important. And then using your voice, and for men who are listening, like if a woman, if you're trying, you know, you're flirting or playing around with a woman in the bedroom, or you're having that experience and she's like, oh, no, 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 no. Like, you get to listen to that no, even if it's not truly a no in her body language. Like, her voice is saying no. It's really respectful for you to say, okay, you're saying no. That means no. I don't want to do something you're not comfortable with. And you can, I've talked to men who've done this. They get their clothes, put it back on, and they leave. That can be challenging for the ego, right? But it's also challenging if, like, we have a pattern of molestation or unconsensual sexuality. And so it's really important to be empowered with our voices and clearly define what we desire and clearly put our boundaries down prior to lovemaking. And then when you're in the bedroom, then if we have a clear structure of what we want, what we're okay with, we both agree to that. Then when we're in the bedroom and we are having sexual intercourse or playing around or having intimacy, then we're going to be a lot safer and we're going to have be able to surrender more. And when we're in surrender, we can have a lot more pleasure. Surrender, especially for women, but for men too, if they surrender to the experience of the moment and they're in their bodies and they're really connected with their partner, there can be so much more expansion of pleasure. And in the bedroom, personally, I have found that it's very challenging for me to orgasm if I have to keep my vocal cords quiet. Like if I'm afraid of my neighbors hearing me, or I'm staying with a family member, or I'm in a place in which I don't feel comfortable using my voice with my pleasure and allowing moans and experiences to come out of my mouth that feeling good. And I'm not talking about like pornographic, like acting. Like I'm talking about like letting the sensations of pleasure move through the body and allowing it to come through the voice and allowing it to come out in that way. I think that's really important too. And like, I feel like a woman and men, like, if a man is having, you know, is ejaculating too soon or coming too quickly, he can also use his voice and bring in that primal energy and like rawr, like, you know, like moan, but like with his masculine power to allow the energy to move through him and use that voice in that way. I don't have a male body. So I don't really understand, but I've, you know, been with men. So, yeah, it's allowing the energy to come out. And then, you know, communicating also, it's really nice, like, to communicate afterwards, like, what did you like and what did you not like and what could have been better? And communication is so powerful to create a deeper sense of intimacy, and deeper intimacy creates much more powerful pleasure in the body. And even if it's a one-night stand, right, if you're never going to see that person again, you still can, like, be clear on what it is that you need, how you want to be nourished, and then that's the container that's set up, right? And then both parties can go into it knowing that there's no strings attached, knowing there's no expectations, but it's creating that vulnerable container so that they can be fully in that moment. Did that answer your question?
Yes, so well. I took notes, and you were very thorough. I wrote down the part, though, about the coyness and the patterns in dating specifically, because I agree with you, Jenny, in the fact that I feel like the sexes are too traditional with how man approaches woman. And women, I say, would you ever approach a man? Oh, no, a man is supposed to approach me. That messes up the natural order of things. That's all well and good in theory. But in practice, men like when you show interest in them as well. And this, I've asked them, and they said that. Can you speak to that more?
Yeah. I don't know if any of your listeners, like, you talked about spirituality, so I'll go there a little bit. I play around a lot with astrology. I really believe in astrology. It's a kind of a roadmap to my emotions and others' emotions to help you understand what's going on better. I'm an Aries. And Aries are very clear and blunt and upfront. As I've matured and gotten older, I've learned how to regulate the tone, talking about tone and how I deliver my bluntness or like how respectful I am and such. And one of the feedback that I get over and over and over again in my bluntness is, and clarity, is that men are so relieved that I'm not playing games. I'm just like, hey, I find you attractive. I would like to get to know you better. This is what I'm looking for. Are you open for that? Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are afraid of that, especially women, because it's really challenging for our egos to be turned down. Right? Mm-hmm. Women are the creatures that are gone after, and they don't get turned down, but men get turned down all the time. They're so regulated and trained to be turned down. It's like a very normal thing, and it's, you know, that's a lot for a man to go through, to be turned down over and over and over again. And I think that almost creates this callousness with a man. And then so when you break up that pattern by, as a woman, saying, hey, I find you attractive, like, and it's really scary. It's vulnerable. And it's a really powerful vulnerability in communicating what you need and what you desire and what you want. And I believe that now is the time for women to start using their voice and asking for what it is that they deeply desire. And that's on my website. It's what is the first question is what do you desire? Right. And that's kind of, and it's a practice and it's a journey to get there. It doesn't happen in like listening to one podcast and like deciding, oh, I'm going to tell somebody what I desire. Like, just the journey to getting to what it is that you deeply desire, it's a journey. It's a practice. It's an expansion of your soul to even get there.
And Jenny, isn't that the men being rejected so much? Isn't that part of the reason MGTOW was started? Got tired. Yeah. Of women rejecting them, so that MGTOW, men going their own way, is the acronym, is what the premise of that is.
I couldn't understand the what was started. I'm so sorry, I didn't understand that word.
The MGTOW, it's an acronym for men going their own way, because this is a group of men who, you're familiar?
Yeah, you know, I think that I'm in California, so I'm not really sure if that's a local thing. I haven't heard about it. Tell me more.
Yeah, it's this group of men who've been rejected by women so much that it's called men going their own way, meaning they just don't even want to be bothered with women. They've been rejected so much, they're going to just start their own movement of, like, brotherhood and just almost this misogyny, and I'm borderline hate toward women because they've been rejected so much. I kind of feel, but that is, I think, because of so much of the rejection that you just spoke of.
Yeah, and I mean, if a woman went through as much rejection as a man does on a regular basis, she would be a mess too. But we have the same problem. It's just a different side of the coin, whereas we're constantly getting hit on, right? And we're constantly getting, like, catcalled or, like, hey, baby, or, like, you know, like, I've had my ass grabbed in certain clubs or bars, and I've had men ask to pay for me to come home with them. And, you know, like, but this is the hardest thing. This is what's really challenging. But it's really, really powerful when we can own it. And this is what gives us freedom, is when we take personal responsibility for that experience. So if you're a woman or a man and you're having a consistent pattern, right? Like, let's say you're a woman and you just get hit on in the same gross way all the time, and you go out and you have like very similar experiences with men on a consistent basis. This is the challenge, but it's going through that challenge and coming to the other side is where the power is and the freedom is. That woman who's having those men hit on her in a raunchy, disrespectful, rude way, or if she's dating the same type of man who doesn't respect her body or respect her energy or respect her no, she is admitting that into her own frequency based on her own traumas. So that's really hard to grasp. It's a really hard concept. But when I can own that, and there's a book that really helped me shift this energy. It's called The Queen's Code by Alison Armstrong.
Okay.
And it really helped me when I read that book. Like before, I was just like a piece of meat that guys wanted to have sex with. That like, I was fun, I was freaky, I was kinky, I was playful. Like, I was like somebody that they just kind of wanted to check off their list that they got laid by me, and it was great. And then I read the book. And then everybody wanted to date me and wanted to bring me flowers and wanted to, like, adore me and serve me and support me. And I was the one who made that shift. And when I was able to see that, like, guys are assholes all the time, that I was emitting a certain vibrational field, that was I was allowing men to treat me that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So men also, if they're always getting turned down by women, instead of creating like anti-woman men's club, if they said to themselves, okay, how do I learn to understand how to communicate to a woman in a way that she feels safe enough to go on a date with me?
Mm-hmm.
How do I understand how women feel respected, right? There's an amazing book also. So for women, I highly recommend you start with The Queen's Code. It's a really easy read. I've read it 18 times.
Wow.
And I'll read it probably another 18 times. Makes you me cry every time. It makes me laugh every time. It's amazing. But it teaches women how to communicate to men. We speak different languages. And it helps us inspire men to step up into their masculine energy and their masculine power. And men just want to fix problems, and they just want us to be happy, really. Men are the most beautifully incredible creatures that are, like, I love men so much. They're so simple, really. They just want to make us happy, and they want to fix problems, and they want to have sex.
Mm.
And it's really, really amazing. I've dated women before, and I want to say women are very complicated creatures, and I don't really enjoy dating them because it was just too much for my nervous system. But we are like this constant, never-ending maze of like excitement and spontaneity, and our hormones change throughout the month, and the way we want to be touched changes throughout the month. And so it's, you know, it's a journey just as a woman to getting to know herself. But yeah, so like, so a man does get to learn how a woman is. And one of my favorite books for that is The Way of the Superior Man by David Dieta. I've read it as well, not 18 times, but but that book really teaches men how we work, how women work, and how to communicate with us. And it's really a communication thing. So if you have a pattern, if you're listening to this right now, and you have a pattern in your dating life or in your marriage or in your intimacy or your sexuality, and you've been blaming your partner or blaming men or blaming women, like, my invitation for you right now is to go, okay, what is the pattern that I see in my life? What has happened more than once that's consistent? Okay, look at that and go, what can I do to change this pattern? How can I take an action to shift it so that I get the outcome that I desire, right? Does that make sense?
It does. It does.
Yeah. And it's hard to hear. It's hard to hear. And you might be like, fuck this bitch. She's crazy. This is crazy. No, men are evil or women are crazy. But it's powerful. Like, it's a personal power that, like, gives you so much freedom. So much freedom when you can own that and then make a new decision.
So were you dated? So men are easier to figure out and satisfy, and just easier to date, in your opinion, than women. I know you said that, but and you said that we're complex. That's very interesting.
I mean, it's perfect. Okay, so Alison Armstrong talks a lot about, like, the hunter-gatherer concept of we our minds are still, like, not as advanced as technology is going mm-hmm. as fast. So men are hunters and women are gatherers. And in that, men are very singular focused, right? When they're focused on their computer doing something, they're not going to hear anything around them. Or they like to focus on one thing at a time and get it done. Whereas women, we're kind of like always seeing things that are going on around us all the time. And we're, like, really attuned to that. But the cool thing about it is that if women are, like, really multifaceted and just, like, go with the flow, and we have all these different emotions going on, and men are these hunters that are trying to, like, fix a problem, then they can, like, they're always on their toes, right? And they're excited, and, like they never know what they're going to get. So it's kind of a challenge in a way. Whereas, mm-hmm. I mean, but, like, I guess, like, I'm a feminine woman, and the woman that I was dating was not super masculine. She was kind of in the middle, too. So mm-hmm. she would go into her femininity and go into her masculinity. But, yeah, I mean, the feminine energy is just, like, really flowy and go with the flow, and it's a lot of emotions, and it's really, yeah, like, sensual and it's like slow dancing, and it's music, and it's beauty, and it's art. And masculine's very, like, you know, get stuff done and be productive and focused. And I think we have both of them in us. We all have both the masculine and feminine energy. And I think that, but for me, what I found with dating a woman is that because I'm so feminine, when she went into her feminine energy, it was really challenging for us to, like, navigate through that. Mm-hmm. Which, with my current partner, he's very in touch with his feminine energy. And so when that happens, I've been learning to go into my masculine energy intentionally when he's in his feminine energy so that I can hold space and safety for his emotions. Which is a new learning for me.
I'm really enjoying talking to you, Jenny, and hope everybody who's listening is also enjoying. You are tuned into Intro to Info right here on the J. King Network. If you're listening via the internet and want to call in, we're at 515-605-9376. On the line now are my co-host, Queen of Hearts. I'm taking her off mute, and my big brother, Michael, straight out of Atlanta. So, hi, guys. Everybody, know, please say your
name. Hello, hello, everyone. This is your girl, Queen of Hearts. Good evening.
Hey, Queen.
Hi.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
New Year, darling.
Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm. Michael Gay is on the live. Big brother, you want to come in and say hello? I see you got your hand up as well.
You know what? Hello, everyone. Hello, Queens of Heart. Hello, my baby sis. You know, I love you all with all my heart. You know, this is the only holiday, meaning New Year's, that people will say that damn term for at least 3-4 weeks. You don't say Merry Christmas, you know, 3 weeks later. You only say Happy New Year's. You don't say Happy Birthday 3-4 weeks later. You might say Happy Belated Birthday if you haven't seen the person in a while. But New Year's is the one holiday that people will say for weeks and weeks after the holiday. But that's a good thing. You wish them for a better and prosperous thing for other individuals. I just chimed in, to be honest, and I was catching the tail end of what your guest or the person who was speaking was saying. when you were speaking about a relationship, you said something about your friend's relationship as far as your understanding. I got lost on that. Can you kind of like repeat that?
I think I got a little like out there. So thank you. I was kind of talking about like the masculine and feminine energies within, primarily we think about feminine energy in women, and we primarily think about masculine energy in men. But I think there is a shift that's happening that we're realizing that we both men and women have both masculine and feminine energy in them. And I think that when we learn to balance out those energies within us, then we can come in with more harmony and respect with each other. So
mm-hmm.
I'm primarily feminine, and I'm learning to cultivate the parts of myself that are masculine. And my partner is very masculine, but he also is very in touch with his feminine side. So when
so
he
you
goes
have a male,
into...
You have a male partner, right?
Currently, yes. I have a male partner, but he is cultivating the feminine pieces of him. So that means, like, being in touch with his emotions and crying and being vulnerable and sharing how he feels, which, you know, he's an engineer and he's very logical and he's very masculine. So it's a new pattern forming, right? Like to
mm-hmm.
be in
and
in
him,
touch with
too.
That. Yeah. So, mm-hmm. but because we, In the world, we have polarity, like we have night and we have day, and we have cold and we have hot, and we have men
right.
and we have women. We need polarity,
so
I have to ask this.
Did you, I'm not trying to be rude, I apologize, but it sounds
no.
like it, but you're saying that, but for him to, at this point in time, because you're sharing with us, or where you're seeing this transformation, for lack of a better term, do you feel like you contributed to his transformation by telling him he needs to do so, or was it something that he is doing on his own? Did you kind of like help him into, you know, looking at his, as you say, feminine side? Were you helping him to do that, or did he come to you and say, you know, I want to look at this? You know the answer to it. You know what I'm asking.
Yeah, no. Well, what I was going to say is that as he steps into his feminine side, then because polarity is important, then I've had to learn to be in my masculine and hold the container and hold the space for him. And that's been really uncomfortable for me. So it's a growing that we're both doing. That being said, he is on his own spiritual journey without me. I've invited him into different, like, ways of growing and learning and getting to know himself better. But, you know, his core essence is masculine. So he always says to me, which I'm so grateful for, it pisses me off in the moment, but he says to me, don't tell me what to do. Tell me how my actions make you feel, or how the feeling would be, or what you would desire.
But you were venturing into your masculine side, right? You said you were venturing into your masculine side. Your masculine side. Am I right?
Yeah, I'm trying to learn how to be more masculine
right
now.
Okay, hold on. I'm not trying to be rude again.
No, you told me
that he is starting to share with you more about his, you know, his feminine side. He's trying to share with you. You just said to me that you are just learning your masculine side. There's a difference of him trying to accept his feminine side, but you just told me that you're trying to learn your masculine side. What have you learned so far, and can you share that with us, of your masculine side? What is masculine about you?
So first off, I want to clarify, like, I want to talk about empowered masculine. There's a toxic masculine and an empowered masculine, and there's a toxic feminine and empowered feminine. So That I'm clarifying. But when I think of an empowered masculine, I think of like grounded presence, listening, holding space, being really grounded in themselves and strong and present, but also like not wavering. So not allowing people to impact them based on their thoughts or emotions, and like being really clear on who they are and what their mm-hmm. mission is and what they're after in life. That's when I think of like empowered masculine, not like when I think of it, disempowered masculine or toxic masculine, it's like,
there's different breakdowns is what you're telling me.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So for him, it's like when he's going into his emotions, I have to learn how to just listen and be present and not try to fix him or coach him or have the solutions to his problem, but just like allow his emotions to be.
Because he's the man. That's his masculinity, right? That's within him, because he's a man.
Well, do you, okay, you're a man. So I'm going to ask you, so how do you feel currently in your life being in touch with your emotions, like with crying
The only thing I'm trying to ask you is that what you shared with me, and I will share with what mm-hmm. you just asked, that you mm-hmm. told me that he is now getting into his femininity, right? That's what you said. And that you are learning about your masculinity. You haven't given me an answer of what you've learned about your masculinity. I want to hear that side from a woman's point of view.
Yeah. So it's, you know, it's being grounded. It's being able to allow any emotions to be. So, like, if he's crying or if he's angry or if he's
we are talking about your masculinity, what you're learning about your masculinity, right? That's what you're explaining.
So that's what I'm saying. So mm-hmm. when he's in those, I'm grounded in myself. Like,
okay.
I'm present. I'm holding space for him. I'm allowing it to be. I'm not shaming it. I'm not freaked out about it. I'm just there and mm-hmm. present and grounded with him in that experience.
Okay, go ahead. I'm listening.
And, you know, as a woman speaking from a feminine perspective, like, well, that's what we crave. We crave this like grounded masculine stability and this presence. They're like connected and with you. And it's really, really powerful for the feminine essence to be seen and held in that way. And it's not something that I would say is the most common thing in our culture for men to be like really grounded in themselves and present with the emotions of a woman. Like, and mm-hmm. I'm not saying that like women are just like emotional and that's who they are. We get to understand how our hormonal cycle impacts our emotions throughout the month and be responsible for that and nourish ourselves based on what's going on and communicate our boundaries too and be more in control of how we communicate. So I'm not just saying like, oh, women can be crazy because their hormones are all over the place. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying like we have a tendency to have different patterns throughout the month that impact our emotions in different ways. And
I have truly experienced that.
Okay.
I am a father, and I watched all that. That's my child being born. But the whole thing, I just want to say this, I'm going to shut the hell up, is that basically you haven't answered my question with all due respect. Because here's the thing, is that where men do have feelings. And men do, right, okay. Men do have feelings, but we have been trained and taught to not show any whatsoever, any mm-hmm. way of being soft,
mm-hmm.
any way of being, as you said, you didn't say this, but you know, well, you can't show your feelings, right? Okay. Now, of course, men do around certain people, but when you're talking about masculinity, you know, men who want to be men. No disrespect for men who want to be, you know, who are in a different field, meaning gay men and this and the other, you know, that that wants to be considered more of a female type thing. So I just want to clarify that. Okay.
Yeah.
But men who want to be men, who, you know, go to the gym and lift weights and everything. There's men like that. Look at when this football player who got hit last Monday, damn near died on the field. Grown men were crying. Grown men, the gladiators of the football field, because this man's heart stopped. That showed right there that these men were not trying to be hard. They understood that that could have been them, right? So my point is that but it's always been taught that the man should be the backbone of the family. The man should always be strong. The man, regardless of the situation, can't shed a tear, can't show weakness. To cry is showing weakness. But you saw both teams, grown men crying on the field. So is that to say that you can't have a feeling? They can't have feelings about a life? So what have we been taught all these years? Black men, white men, this men in general, what have we been taught is that where we don't have feelings? Men are supposed to be able to be like, suck it up. The movies tell you that's the way you're supposed to be. But the movies, that's not reality. Men are men. They're human, too. They have feelings like women. I'm going to finish off with this. Men are human, too. They have feelings like anybody else on this earth. We don't breed kids, but we love our kids, right? But the bottom line is this, that we have feelings too. But we have been trained and taught to be the individuals that we have no feelings. That is the worst damn thing you could teach your child, to not have feelings.
Yeah.
Because that will make your child become the most dangerous person, the most feared person, the most confused person in society, because they're going to have feelings that you're telling them they shouldn't have. Society is going to say, you can't feel that way.
No, this is beautiful. I love what you're saying. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I love your perspective. I love that you're owning that and you're clarifying it. And I fully 100% agree with you 1,000%. And
the same with women. Same thing with women, too.
And I want to speak to the woman, right? So if men are taught that they're not allowed to have emotions, and that's not okay, that when they do have emotions, it's overwhelming for women. And I'm not saying that that's right or wrong or good or bad, but I've had that experience within myself and other women. And I think that that's part of us stepping into our masculine energy is like, his emotions are beautiful and I get to be present with them and I don't need to shame them and I get to love him for having these emotions and be a safe space for him to express those emotions so he doesn't feel shamed and he doesn't feel judged and he doesn't feel like I'm trying to control or fix the problem or make it go away. And I think that right there is me learning in myself to be in my empowered masculine with the mass the man, when he's going into the beautiful, vulnerable places and he's sharing from his heart and he's sharing his pain. And I think that it's so important for all of us to do. And I totally agree. It's like boys can cry and men can cry. And that doesn't mean he's like any less than. It's beautiful and it's vulnerable and it's powerful.
And women can be strong and women can be positive, but women are still women. And men have been trained and taught to protect a woman, respect a woman, okay? Mm-hmm. But when you get women who are like, I don't need you to do this, I don't need you to do that, then something like, what the hell? This is what I was saying. I'm supposed to respect you. But when I try to give you respect, you spit on me. You disrespect me as being what I was told to be a man towards a woman. So what does that tell you about the society that we live in? There's something wrong here. The wires have been crossed up. And that's the reality. The wires have been crossed up. And no disrespect to folks. Well, I have to say this real quick. No disrespect for folks who want to live in their world of where, you know, there's women who want to be men. There's men who want to live the lifestyle of a woman. I cannot judge them. It is not me. Mm-hmm. I am not God. Okay? Mm-hmm. But I respect them as long as they respect me. That's the bottom line. I respect anybody based on their lifestyle. I respect them as long as they respect me.
I agree. I want to talk about something. I'm going to interrupt really quick because I love what we're talking about, but I really want to talk about solutions. I think solutions are a beautiful, beautiful topic because we have some issues, right? Yeah, so like going forward with men and women, we have trust issues with each other. We have issues with being vulnerable. We have judgments. We have conditioning. We have all of that. And so when you're moving forward, like for people who are listening right now to be aware of that, like I think it's really important to, number one, regulate your own nervous system and your own emotions. Like really have that as a practice to be fully responsible for yourself completely. And that means it doesn't happen in a second and it doesn't happen in a minute or a month or two. It's a daily practice of regulating your nervous system, taking deep breaths, doing good things for your body, drinking water, you know, maybe having a 2 to 5 minute meditation practice every day. And really doing some self-reflection. It's the beginning of the new year. It's a really good time to journal and get clear on what it is that you want to create and craft this year. And, you know, for you, I love your masculine energy. I love that you brought it forward and everything. And, like, I love that you talked about, like, teaching your children to be connected with their emotions and not making them wrong. And connecting with your own emotions, like if you're feeling angry or you're feeling anxious or you're feeling overwhelmed or pissed off or whatever big emotions are moving through you, one thing that you can do is it's called box breathing. And you inhale for 4 seconds, you hold for 4 seconds, you exhale for 4 seconds, and you hold for 4 seconds. It's a inhale, hold. Exhale, hold, and you count those 4 seconds. It's a great way to regulate your nervous system and then communicate with clarity and grace what it is that you need and why vulnerably. And we get to change these patterns by first looking at ourselves, regulating our own system, working on ourselves, getting clear on what it is that we need or that we want or that we desire, and then learning to communicate that with grace and clarity and power and confidence, not from a place of anger or resentment or shame or negativity or badness, right? But, hey, like, that goes back to boundaries. This is what is happening. This is how it makes me feel. I'm not available for that anymore. Can we co-create something new together?
Well, you know what? You're on a good, you know, and you were talking for a moment. There was a word that you said, and it just really just flew out of my mind. I wanted to share with you. I thought it was a very good word that you said, but you were speaking, and I just lost it. But it was a great word that you said. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Based on what you just shared, I get what you're sharing, but the thing is that not everybody's going to follow. Not everybody's going to respect certain things. Not everybody's going to understand things, right? I mean, this is the world that we live in. This is the reality.
I just want to say something with regards
to
all of this. For so long, it has been this battle of the sexist thing that I'm so tired of. And I like the people and the coaches such as Jenny who are trying to bring the sexes together, because that's the purpose of us being here. That is the first command in the Bible, is for a man to get with a woman. So this man versus woman battle of the sexist thing for this new year, if you want somebody and you're heterosexual, let's listen to people like Jenny, who has a man, is in a healthy relationship, is a coach, is paid to bring people together, and let's move in that way this year. I'm really tired of this whole men versus women thing. And Queen of Hearts is happily married, enough is enough.
But if I can respond real quick, look at what I mean. To be honest, if you look at it, where I understand what you're saying is that where, but look at here in Atlanta alone, there are more available men than women. If a woman wants a man, there's tons of single men out here. But what are these men doing? What can they offer? What do the women want? Can you add up to their? No, most of them can't, because a lot of the women here in Atlanta own their own businesses, have their own homes and stuff like that. I've seen that. Had conversations about all that. So that's where, how come the men cannot come up to par of what the women want? Can I finish? I'm sorry. But then you look at it where there are women, which I do know, a friend of mine, that, no, I'd rather be with a woman. I have friends of mine who date women. They're like, I would never date another man. They're happy with being in a relationship with a woman. I'm like, okay. How did that happen?
This is an invitation for you and the list. I said this before you got on. There's a book called The Way of the Superior Man by David Dieta, and it teaches men how to be with women. It's a very empowering way, and we can feel that. We can feel that, and we don't have a lot of time, so we can't go into, like, the whole sexuality
I have a woman, but the things that where I do a show, but I'm just talking to people who have these issues. I have my own, but I'm just saying in general, that's what happens. But go ahead. There's a lot of folks who talk to women.
What's happening, which I'm seeing happen, is there's a movement of personal growth that is happening, especially since COVID. People have started to grow and expand and see themselves in different ways. And more women are growing than men are. When you show up to a personal growth seminar or a meditation experience or a breathwork experience, there are majority women and less men. There are men. I love that. I agree that. And so this is my invitation for you, for listeners. If you are not finding the partnership you desire and you are not being met the way you want, it is time to start working on yourself. It is time to start seeing the patterns in yourself that are not working and to take personal responsibility and start YouTubing it and Googling it and finding books and reading about it and regulating you and working on yourself. And that's what I work with women. I have a sacred self-pleasure ritual mini course that I send put people through first so women can regulate themselves first. So
and then go to a good church that you trust. A good church that you trust could probably be helpful too. I'm sorry,
a spiritual practice, whatever works for you.
Right.
But like having a spiritual practice is really powerful. And going to a therapist, going to therapy and talking about your emotions if you have things that are not working in your life is really powerful. Hiring a coach, you know, working on your personal growth. And I do want to make an invitation that it's the time is now and the new year is here and we get to make new choices. And we get to choose a different way of being in the world. And that is what I want to leave you and whoever is listening with. And I hope that that's helpful. And finding solutions, focusing on what you want and making it happen instead of focusing so much problem on what's not working and the energy of, like, frustration or lack or anger or resentment, but, like, really focusing on what you want and making it happen. And figuring out different new ways to make it happen.
Okay. Sister, I love her. She's awesome. I like her.
She is. And I want to give Queen of Hearts, we're down to the last 3 minutes. What we're going to do now is, Queen, I want to give you a chance to respond just to anything that has been said on tonight. And then, Jenny, I want you to definitely plug your business and also tell people how they can get in touch with you should they need your services or just want to follow you on social media. So, and then Big Brother will round it out with myself and you. Queen of Hearts, go right ahead.
Yes. What I wanted to question on or make a comment on is just basically, you know, how they would talk about emotions and this, that, and third. I was just saying that it's good to release, like you said, a man cry. It don't matter how masculine you are. Cry or do whatever necessary. Scream, shout, to get that pent-up frustration out versus bottling it up and then pop off and hurt somebody in the meantime. So basically, that's all I wanted to say.
That's
100%.
Yes.
No, 100%. Feeling your feelings in the moment and allowing them to move through you and allowing the anger to rush through you and allowing the sadness to rush through you and not holding it down, not using alcohol or cigarettes or video games or anything to, like, numb yourself from
drugs,
feeling and just...
Drugs, just any drugs.
And drugs, yes, drugs. Substances of any kind, exactly.
Drugs,
and what
the
emotions can move through you very quickly. They can. You can do them. I know we have to go, but there's a sacred... like temper tantrum where you can put on a timer for 90 seconds. And in those 90 seconds, you just put a timer on your phone and you scream and you kick and you yell and you hit a pillow and you scream into a pillow and you just let it all out for 90 seconds. And that's one thing I bring a lot of my clients through. So.
And then Jenny, how can somebody get in touch with you? How can somebody get some of your services?
Yeah, you can go to my website. It's Jenny Heartsong. That's HEARTSONG.com. Or Instagram is Jenny Rose Heartsong. My website is primarily focused towards women. I am about to shift it a little bit to bring in more men and women energy. But I do have a guide on there that you can get for free. It's called Calling in Your King, and it's a journal practice to kind of get really clear on what it is that you desire in a partnership. And it doesn't just talk about, like, what hair color he is. It's, like, how he shows up and communicates and how he navigates through conflict and how you guys co-create together and things like that. So you're very clear on what it is that you want in relationships. And then I have a really amazing sacred self-pleasure ritual. It's a really awesome way for women to connect with their bodies and have, like, more of a sacred relationship with their vessel that we're given and to, like, explore their bodies and their sensuality and what, like, lights them up so that they can communicate with clarity what it is they desire. And then I do also do one-on-one coaching for those who are really wanting to do a deep dive, and I call that the Embodied Rose, and I work with you for 3 months, one-on-one mentorship, kind of diving into where it is that you would like to go in your life and where you are now and where you'd like to be in 3 months. And that's a really sweet, intimate experience. And then if you join my email list, I'll be sharing more things as the year comes along. So.
Thank you humbly, Jenny, for being our guest today. I've enjoyed and learned so much. I think that you were great talking about one of my favorite mm-hmm. subjects, and I think everybody on the line's favorite subject, and so, you know, you got to come back. I just followed you. I want you to remain in my network. I'm fantastic. So, guys, this is Intro to Info. This is your host, Makeisha. Before we go, Big Brother, plug your show and any closing words before we go.
Oh, I appreciate it. The TMGS, the Michael Gay Show on the TMG and the Michael Gay Network. We're on Spotify. We're on all social media networks. Just go to Google, look for TMGN, the Michael Gay Show. Every Saturday, broadcasting live. We have two shows also that broadcast on the show or on the network. But quickly before we go, I don't want to post everything. I really appreciate your guests and everything. And, you know, I think that maybe when you look at situations that happen, you have all these places where you can go and exercise, these gyms and everything. We should have where the gyms might want to include a place where a person can go and release their frustrations. I know it sounds crazy, but we probably need to do that because people actually get mad, walk away, go get a gun, come back to the situation, and shoot somebody. Have a location of where they can come and release their frustration and then sit down and talk with them about why they were going through this.
Hmm.
I know it sounds stupid, but it's not. I think that this is something where when you give an outlet to where a person can immediately go to a gym or go to a location to, you know, release their frustration and then talk to them, it probably will stop them from doing something that would definitely change their life. That's my opinion. I'm done.
Okay, I'm going to leave you with a solution because I'm really solution-based. I don't like talking about the problem. I'm going to talk about solutions. So there's an amazing man from Europe, and his name's Wim Hof, and he does a breathwork practice. It's free on YouTube. And he does cold plunging, and it's the most amazing way to get your emotions out, and it brings a sense of peace and calm and ecstasy over your body, and you can go into cold water anywhere. But his YouTube, you just do Wim Hof breathwork. It's 11 minutes, and it is a way to get that out of your body, to get that frustration out. It's free, and it's a powerful way to get it out. And then starting a cold plunge practice, getting in a cold pool, getting in a cold river, getting in a cold ocean. It's hard and challenging at the beginning, and it is the most powerful way to feel alive and to release negative emotions as fast as possible.
Well, while you're sharing, well, okay, so maybe we need to start building those type of
perfect
venues.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
maybe
I agree.
We need to talk about that and look at how we can start doing some venues like that. On a
cold plunging and gym. Cold plunging and gym.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Cold plunging and gym in 2023. Please do it. If you have a gym, please open a cold plunge.
That's all I was saying. Right. Just start doing that because gyms are basically in those areas that situations like that. Well, the people who come to the gym might be dealing with that. And so if you offer that within the gym of where, hey, look, you know, you can come to this particular, you know, thing, this program, you know, other than just exercising. If you have some issues and everything, you could, you know, get involved in this. Like I just said, it's there. It's available. And they know it. People know it. But you gotta really put it all together and get people. Once you put it all together, people who have issues, like we just said, some will at least try that before doing the worst of the worst. Right?
My invitation for you is tomorrow, Sunday, if you're listening to this, find a body of cold water and get in it. No matter if it's a gym, if it's the ocean, if it's got an inch of snow, like ice over it, do it. And it's powerful. It's so powerful. So I want to end, yeah. You can do it, any cold water, anywhere. We're in the wintertime.
Here's to another great year of Intro to Info. Thank you, Jenny. Thank you, Big Brother, Queen of Hearts. I love you. You guys take care and stay true. Good night.
Okay, bye.
Love you too. God bless. Good night, sis. Good night, fam.